Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk get into it. Elon Musk gets the Hyperloop cracking, and Comic-Con is over. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario? Yeah.
Joe knows this, and Joe knows that.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live, a show you break down tech news and nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective. I'm Joe Braswell. That's Five Dog. On my left is Achilles Shine.
Yeah, man, in the building, man. You got to see Tribe this weekend, didn't you?
I did. That's right. I went to FYF. I did not go to Comic-Con for the first time in a minute.
Right.
I decided to go to FYF to see Tribe and with my daughter.
It's awesome.
It was good. It was really good.
How were they post Fife?
When I left, I was like, they're like a 7. Mm. And then I thought about it more. I'm like, all right, they're like an 8. But everyone I talked to, everyone was right. Like, they were like a 10 plus.
So what, Tip did all Fife's lyrics? How did that work?
No, they did audio.
They played the record.
They played the record, which I think is the way to go. Because you can't really do Fife's verse. Right. Like, if you're a real fan, you don't want to hear, you
Tip
know,
do it.
Consequence. But right. it was Tip, Consequence, and Jarobi.
Right.
I'm not sure Jarobi or Tip were very sober.
Oh, really?
Especially Jarobi.
Oh, wow.
But
like, sloppy?
I just felt Jarobi was a little,
too loose.
Yeah, and Tip's more. I mean, Tip's professional, but he definitely messed up about 2 or 3 times.
Wow, like fumbled lyrics.
Fumbled lyrics.
Timing? Like, what do you mean?
Well, Shaheed messed up twice with the timing
on the coming in, of course, he's still doing it.
He's doing a lot live, which we respect. So it's almost like you like to see that because it assures you that he's not just pressing a button.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So here's a couple little mess ups, and then I'll excuse those. Q-Tip had about 2 lyric flubs where he just did a little a song, but I'm back, and I'm back, you know. Mm. And then one like just started the song in the wrong place.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah, that's huge. You know, I mean, I get the lyrics.
We just came in on the wrong count.
Ugh,
you know, came in early or late or something. I can't remember what I need to start over.
Well, anyway, hey, Legacy Group, baby.
I'm not complaining because they were dope. They're always dope. It was huge. I saw them at Rock the Bells in 2010, mm-hmm. which was felt about as big. That felt like that was about, I don't know, 20,000. This was like 40,000 people. Right. So it's as big as it gets for them. And I don't know. I just really respect them. What I did hear him say is this is our last, you know, tour or our last performance in LA as Tribe Called Quest.
I believe it.
So that felt special. And yeah, anyway, and everything else was dope. Tour's dope. Your favorite Run the Jewels, they killed. Solange killed. I didn't say it for all of Frank Ocean, but I heard he killed. Mm-hmm. And it was good. Good little festival.
There it is.
But Comic Con, hopefully, it doesn't overlap with Comic Con next year because that was a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, you could do both. One day at Comic-Con, one day at the festival.
That was my plan. My plan was to go do one day at Comic-Con and come back, but didn't make it.
Yeah, whatever.
Lots to talk about. Elon Musk is in the news. He's tweeted out. It's kind of a Donald Trump. It's kind of a Donald Trump style thing where like you tweet something out, but no one has verification on it. It's almost like you got the inside scoop. You can't wait to tell people, so you just tweet it out. Trump does this a lot. Elon Musk tweeted out that he's got verbal okay from the New York to Philly, Baltimore, D.C. Hyperloop.
Yeah.
So New York, Philly, Baltimore, D.C. It'll take you from New York to Philly in 30 minutes.
29 minutes, baby.
So that means he's got verbal government approval.
Yeah.
I'm not sure from all these municipalities, and he must get from the states as well. He's got to drill underground. His company is the Boring Company. He's got that big thing, like you just bore through the earth. This is fantastic if true. I mean, 30 minutes. What do you think of this? I know you're a big Elon Musk fan. What do you think?
I think it's amazing. And I would definitely not make the comparison of Donald Trump to Elon Musk. I think that is a shot fired. But I think it's amazing that, you know, he's been developing in this space for a while. And we talk about disruption. Talk about transportation disruption. Like this is as big as it gets. The fact that this Hyperloop technology can, you know, move faster than, you know, our current flight technology, you know, for commercial flight technology. So, I mean, the Hyperloop goes between 700 to 800 miles per hour. And the fact that he has, you know, every intention to not only build the East Coast infrastructure, but also do it here on the West Coast from L.A. to San Francisco in 30 minutes as well. I think that is an amazing thing, and it will completely, like I said, disrupt and shift how we think about transportation, how we think about harnessing, you know, our environment to be able to facilitate that transportation. And the fact that he's that much closer to it actually being manifest, that's amazing. I mean, the fact that it's multiple states and the bureaucracies of multiple states, counties, cities, and all that stuff, like he has to be able to figure out all those legalities and how all that stuff is regulated. But the fact that he's an inch closer, a step closer, I think is pretty fucking cool that we could have this, be on this, like, experience this. Like, that's fresh.
Well, I mean, the California one is like, you know, LA to San Francisco in 30 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, it's $6 billion for that price tag. It doesn't seem like it's that much money to build that. $6 billion doesn't seem like it's that much money. And I feel like...
Maybe not for him.
No, I mean, just for, even for anybody. For, like, if the state wanted to pay $6 billion to put that in, our taxpayers wouldn't pay $6 billion. I don't know. I mean, it's for me to say.
Well, it's more than just building it. It's like, how do you protect it? Like, how do you manage it?
Safe.
Like, all that, you know?
I mean, it's going 800 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Are you going to get that thing going 800 miles an hour?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I know what to say. And it needs to be running for like, it's like a new roller coaster for me. It needs to be running for like a year.
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to be the first dude to just jump on Twisted Colossus.
Okay, well, hey, like, you could take that 5-hour drive to San Fran.
I don't want to be like going to burst of flames underground and doing 800 miles an hour, like big up an Elon Musk.
Anyway.
but one thing I did like about this, which I didn't realize, which I should have even thought about this, is there's another version where you put your cars in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you drive your car in there and you go and up and up thing, and 30 minutes later you're in San Francisco with your car.
Exactly.
Whipping around.
Yeah.
Like, not that you need a car in San Francisco, but that's dope though.
Absolutely. The fact that you can transport whatever, you know, it's big enough to facilitate that. And I love the fact that the technology he's using, or that he's invented or built, is that it makes the tunnel but also creates the infrastructure at the same time.
Yeah.
So then that's why he's able to, you know, to build this at such an accelerated pace, is because not only are you just kind of like digging the dirt out and throwing it, but no, you're building it as you're digging, which is pretty phenomenal.
That is the key, because before it was the old boring machine.
Exactly.
You go back in to repave it.
Exactly.
You go back in and lay the track. You know, all that stuff. Now he's doing it all at once. So
all in one.
The boring company. Anyway.
Get your money, man. Get your money.
I'm not mad at Elon at all. I tell you, it's a little mad at Elon Musk is your boy Zuck. They had a little tete-a-tete, little barb exchange.
Hey, they're friends.
Over AI. I mean, I think that, you know, Elon Musk is on record by like warning, like he's really on the whole like Skynet.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
AI will come get us. If we're not careful, AI will take us over. And we need to be very mindful of that. And Zuck is like, not so much. We got this. All we gotta do is, you know, make sure the code is right. I'm a coder, I know how to do this, I'm Zuck. And so there's a little exchange.
I think the exchange is healthy, and I think it's conversation building, because it's not, I don't think Elon is saying that we shouldn't be about developing AI. He's just saying that we should be cautious.
Yeah.
And we should, you know, make sure that we build,
not hand over the keys to everything.
Exactly. That's all he's saying. Like, why would anyone argue against that?
Right.
Like, to me, that's smart. Like, we should be safe before it's too late. That's all he's saying.
Well, I mean, and Zuck was just saying, you know, like, hey, look, we need to be careful. You know, it's fine. I'm optimistic that we can do this. Da da da. And Elon's like, I talked to Mark about this. His understanding on the subject is limited.
Man, that was a shot. That was a jab.
That was shots like, fired.
Yo.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But I agree. I mean, I feel like Elon is definitely in this space. He's been in this space. I mean, and you even, you know, listen to a lot of, you know, science fiction authors and different theorists, like they've been saying this for a number of years, and they call it technological singularity. Like, this is something that's been, it's a concept that people have been studying and developing for over 40 years. So I don't think it's far-fetched for us to be scared, have some fear associated with it, because it's an unknown. We don't know that the machine we're making now that might do the simple tasks might outpace us. We don't know that.
Right.
So,
yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I'm with Musk. I'm well on record being with Musk on this one.
Clearly, you're not on Mark Zuckerberg's team. Clearly.
Another reason to lie me against Zuck.
Right.
Moving on. So your boy Trump. Nah, I was always that. Trump is running his mouth a little bit. And he's just saying that he's saying that, like, Apple will build 3 big, beautiful plants in the U.S. of A. And they may. But the point is that Tim Cook hasn't really, like, disclosed that yet or announced it yet. So, because kind of like, come on, dog. I thought we were talking, this was between me and you. But Trump has made it very clear that, like,
yeah, because
anytime he can brag,
that's what he campaigned on. He campaigned on that, hey, he'd bring more jobs to America and keep more American companies in America. And one of those companies being Apple. So, of course, he's going to run to the bullhorn as soon as there's the potential of that.
Yeah.
But, and I think the bigger story, which I'll throw back to you, is like the tax breaks that Donald Trump is trying to employ with these companies, because if you look at Apple as a company and their reserves, their money is not in the States. The reserves, their money is in international banks, and they can't really bring that money back over as fluidly because of the current laws. And so Trump wants to disrupt that, giving incentives to these companies to bring more jobs and stability back to the country. But the fact is like, will that happen? The question is, will that happen if Apple is allowed to kind of like get the one-time tax break to get $200+ billion back over here?
Right.
Like, will they create more jobs for us? That's the question.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I would like to believe that, you know, that Tim Cook and Apple and the tradition of Apple has always been sort of American, although they do a lot of stuff in China. So who knows? Who knows where the loyalties lie? I mean, you know, the loyalties lie with the people or with the dollar.
Right.
Our corporation.
I read an interesting stat that Apple has enough money to buy every professional sports team in America. Baseball, basketball, hockey, and football. They could buy every single team.
They have every team in every league.
And still have $90 billion left over.
Damn. So they could buy every NFL team, NBA team, NHL team, and MLB team.
And have $90 billion left over.
Still got $90 billion for snacks.
That's retarded. That's retarded.
That is retarded. Wow, that is retarded. I mean, yeah, that's a whole separate thing when you think about what's going on. Well, that's also a separate story. We talk about later. But just what's going on in professional sports now with all these billionaires owning the teams, it changes the dynamic of what's important to these franchises. And like Steve Ballmer building this new arena, he doesn't have to make money on it. He just wants to build the dopest arena.
Right.
And everybody's like, well, what about this? How are you going to fill it? What about it? He's like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, don't matter to me. It's my money.
Exactly.
You know, and that's kind of it's interesting. Whereas in the past, it was like, how do we make money off this stuff?
Right.
It's just interesting world we live in now. All right. Adobe Flash, which is a pain in everyone's ass, especially Steve Jobs' ass back in the day. But even, you know, even now, I can't do anything without like having to download the latest Flash or Flash up to date. The Flash, it feels like they're like just in everything. Well, it looks like Adobe's trying to kill it for good. The Flash player, which is, I think, is a good thing, right?
It's definitely a good thing. It's an archaic it's an archaic plugin. It's a piece of software that's just old. It's like
old.
It's not really usable now. I mean, we talk about most of these developers are using HTML5 and other things that are more open source.
Yeah.
And so Flash is too limiting. And like you said, it's susceptible to security breaches and all sorts of
all
stuff.
Kinds
and so,
of stuff.
I mean, I like the fact that Adobe, I mean, I'm a big fan of Adobe as a company, what they've been able to do with creative tools and the fact that they're saying, you know, hey, we developed this, we invented this, and it was for the world to use, but now we're gonna case close it. We're going to put it underground and maybe create something even cooler.
Yeah, but do you think they have something already? I guess one question is, do you think they're going to roll out something else in replacement, or are they just going to refocus on their creative tools?
I mean, they have Adobe CC Animate, which includes a lot of functionality for developers. And I think Flash was a part of that functionality. But I don't think they're going to create something new that's going to change the game, because I think everything is bleeding in and weaved in. Like, it's not like the old days where, hey, you created an app or you created a piece of software and then you have to use something else. Like, everything is, like, combined now. So they would have to create something, like, completely game-changing and different. I don't think it'll be a standalone. That's what I'm saying.
Got you. Okay, that makes sense.
Flash sucks.
Flash is terrible. I agree. I have nothing to add to that other than Flash sucks. I do have stuff on this, though. Lyft is, as promised, getting into the autonomous game. They opened a brand-new self-driving division that develop its very own autonomous and ride-hailing technology. In other words, yeah, they've got their own stuff, their own platform, so that you will be able to get, you know, call your car. The car will come to you wherever you're at with nobody in it and whip you to wherever you need to go. And that's it. And I think that's all fantastic. And this got me thinking, with all, you know, Lyft and Uber especially and all these other companies got a lot of praise for a lot of the people that they're employing for sort of taking over the cab industry and employing normal people and really revitalizing the gig economy, especially in places like New York and Los Angeles, where the gig economy is so important for actors and other folks. A lot of praise for that. But now it just seems like they're all going heavy to autonomous. And what's going to happen to all the gig economy?
Right.
They all going to be on the street? Like, it's an interesting wrinkle to me. It's almost like a bait and switch.
Right.
Do you see it that way, or do you think this is...
I mean, I see that. I don't see it as that. I see it as a landscape shift. Like, we're moving away from, and we talked about this extensively on the show, we're moving away from a product-based society to more of a service-based society. And so products will begin to lose value, and people want more of the service. They want more of something being provided for them and making life easier for them. And so, hey, to free up the fact that you have to drive, it has a lot of pluses to it. Like, that gives you more productivity hours. And I think I read a stat that said if the billion drivers of the world had rode in autonomous vehicles, it would give about 50 minutes per person, which is twice the amount of time it took. So that's like 2 billion hours, right, of productivity time that it took to build the pyramids of Giza.
Wow.
You would have that in one day.
Wow.
If everyone rode an autonomous vehicle.
Okay.
So the fact that, hey, now you have more time to either have entertainment for yourself or to be, you know, conducting business or spending time with your family, whatever it may be, that's going to add to the quality of life.
Play video games, watch porn on the internet. I mean, this is
whatever you would be doing. It would add to the quality of life. And right. So I feel like Lyft, Uber, Google, all these companies trying to break into this industry and do that. I think it's bound to happen. It's already happening. The wheels are already spinning. So,
okay. Well, I agree. Those stats are very encouraging, but I still wonder about the displaced jobs and where those people will find jobs. But I'm sure they'll figure it out. But
they'll find jobs doing something else.
They'll
have more time.
I know where they can find jobs. They can find jobs at DICE.
Let's go.
Who is the leading career tech hub, the champion for technology and professional citizen of citizens of the tech community. They're a place that you can find jobs, insight. They have over 70,000 tech jobs on DICE, and it's a place to be if you're looking for these things. It helps you find up your salary, what you're getting paid, find out other companies that are looking for your specific skill set, so you enter your skill set that are on your CV. It helps match you to other companies that are looking for jobs on that CV. So even if you're not looking for that specific job, DICE will help you match your skill set.
That's right.
Inside your skills and then put it on towards other jobs is fantastic.
That's awesome.
Over 70,000 tech jobs, as I said, range from software development to user experience, project management, tremendous amounts of insights and jobs around the job market. The salary reports and tools to fully understand how to stack you up. Here's what you need to do to check out DICE. DICE is your advocate for navigating your career, whether it means finding your next job or getting your pay raise or helping you come figure out your next career move. You can learn more about DICE at dice.com/canyouhackit. That's dice.com/canyouhackit, all one word. Hack your career with DICE. That's dice.com/canyouhackit. Check it out.
Okay, DICE, cool. Baby.
DICE. All right, so this was really cool. This has been in the news. There was a set of conjoined twins that were born joined at the chest and then with the heart, and doctors were able to use sort of 3D and basically virtual reality technology to go in and not only just see exactly model what the surgery needs to be, but actually go in. I saw the video of this. I'm actually manipulating stuff together in a room, and they all got the glasses on.
Right.
They're all like manipulating and plan out the surgery using 3D technology and VR and AR technology, and then go in and then rehearse it like multiple times down to the second, and then successfully did it.
Yeah,
that's dope.
And do it in record breaking time. They had estimated that it would take 14 hours to do it, and they were able to do the procedure in 8 hours. But I think it's amazing. That, I mean, we go from x-rays to CAT scans to now having this type of technology where we can do a tour inside the body. Like, we can go inside a cell and do a tour and be like, okay, well, what you have in there?
Right.
The fact that they were able to do this and have, I mean, I think it was like a 200% chance of of the procedure going bad, a 200% chance of it going bad, and they were able to be successful because of the technology. This is a happy story. It's a great story, a great usage of how we can harness the technology to do good for humanity. Right. I love it. And I hope that the twins are able to survive. I know that the article said that they're still recovering.
Yeah.
And they're still not over, you know, out of the danger zone.
No.
But the fact that they were able to do such a sophisticated procedure and be successful is worth applauding.
Yeah, it is. And it's such a book bodes well for all kinds of different surgeries involving, vascular surgery and brain surgery and all kinds of crazy stuff, man.
A to Z.
Yeah, the future is bright in that way, and that's good. So congratulations to Paisley and Paislin. I'm not going to say anything with that, but that is their names. All right. Black Mirror nightmare is finally coming true. The Wisconsin company will let employees use a microchip.
Goodbye.
it's fully voluntarily.
I know.
But you'll just implant it right here. So it's right there. It's a little chip. And instead of your key card, it'll open all your doors. So beep, beep. And it'll also help you buy snacks. So at our work, we have the at our office, we have the big snack thing, and it's all fancy. You get your card, you can get your cash. This one, you can just whoop. So
just be like, yeah, and the doors access denied.
I'm cool on the key card. Oh, the man. Key card is not a hassle for me.
Yeah.
I pull it out, I put it on the thing, I difficult. Walk in. Not a big deal.
We don't need to solve that. I don't need the key card inside my body. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, this is Black Mirror step one. I mean, really, do you have anything to add on this other than it sucks?
I mean, I'll ask you a question. Like, why do you think that we see this? I mean, because obviously it's a cultural thing. We don't really see this technology adopted right now, currently. Or I'm ignorant to these stories domestically. We only see them in, Europe. So do you think it's a cultural thing that people are more open to this? Based on maybe environmental reasons or whatever. I mean, that could be an interesting take.
Yeah, it is. I think that it has a lot to do with how we view our rights and our civil rights and our history of sort of rights violations and everything from that's in our Constitution, from free speech to it just feels so invasive, and it's something that we at this particular country, in theory, was founded on a set of rules that allow us to be, free individuals. And it seems like that this is an invasive property when you're a company or the government or everyone else.
Well, you still have the choice. The company's not, saying that you have to.
Of course.
These people are signed up for it. Like, hey, I'll do it. Like,
yeah, I know. That's the sad part. It's just, it's Black Mirror. Like, in Black Mirror, they explain how everyone voluntarily wants it. Everybody wants it. It's good marketing. Like, here's all the shit you can do for you. You need one. Like, put one in.
So if they said they give you a raise, if you put one in your hand, we'll give you a raise.
That's scary. If every Walmart employee who employs, the largest employer and one of the largest employers in the world says, good news, employees, we're going to give you guys all a $10,000 a month raise.
Instead of the minimum wage being X, we're going to bump it up $2.
$10,000 more a year on top of your things. And good news, you get a free implant in your neck. Just helps us track you.
Yeah, people would do it.
Yeah, everyone would do it. Who wouldn't do it? Yeah. That's the sad part. So I don't know. I don't know what this means. All right. I do know what this means. Let's move into some pop culture, some fun stuff.
Are you saying technology is not fun? No. Oh, my gosh.
No, implanting things in your hand and your neck to get some snacks. Not fun. Open doors. But my man Neil deGrasse Tyson is joining forces with your guy, George R.R. Martin.
Your guy.
I'm not mad at George R. Martin, but man, he doesn't look like the healthiest guy in the world. Although I do love Game of Thrones, just not the healthiest cat. Anyway, they're joining forces on a space video game.
I love it.
Obviously, George R. R. Martin, creator of Game of Thrones, he is a builder of
worlds.
Yeah. I mean, Westeros is an entire world that is very detailed.
Dynamic.
So to do this in Space Odyssey and for a video game with the brain of Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is a huge sci-fi guy and also a science guy.
Right.
So he's a science guy and a science fiction guy. Mm-hmm. This is exciting, right?
Oh, super exciting. I love the fact that he's behind this. I love that it's an opportunity to be an educational tool while also a tool of entertainment.
Yeah.
And the fact that it could be used, within schools within the education system. I think that the possibility of that is exciting to me. But I love the fact that, hey, that while you're playing something, you're also learning. Like I don't know of too many games that actually do that in science. And so the fact that, I mean, what I'm trying to say is this is an open space. Like this is a good move for him because no one's really in this space killing it. So like maybe this would be a great opportunity to implement it within, like I said, the schools. So
yeah, it'd be fun. I think it's a good opportunity to utilize, you know, their video game technology to educate which kids are playing video games. They can learn something along the way. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson's NDT's goal is to get kids reinvigorated in not only in the STEM, but like in NASA and space travel. Like we have this whole generation of baby boomers who grew up like wanting to go to the moon, go to the stars, and that's how we all this innovation. And now, and the innovation that came from the space program gave us a lot of stuff we got today. So it's not just like going to the moon. It's like the innovation that came for us trying to go to the moon.
Right.
So if we're trying to go to Mars, it's not about getting to Mars, which people are like, who wants to go to Mars? That's stupid. It's the innovation that comes with figuring out how to go to Mars that will help us here on Earth. So,
and I love the fact that he's exploring different forms of science. It's not just space exploration. It's not just, you know, astronomy. Like he's dealing with physics. He's dealing with materials and chemistry, the malleability of the different things. If you put them in different environments, like that's interesting. And then you're able to play a game and you're able to have like these group dynamics. So like you could team up and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh. Who knows what will come of that. We'll see.
Create your own planet.
This is mixed reviews for me. Mixed news for me on this. And there's something back here. But Warner Brothers allegedly is trying to phase Ben Affleck out of the Batman role.
Hmm.
They got plans. They said his future is in doubt as they try to figure out what the franchise is. And there's a couple of things behind this. I mean, they just 2 years ago, just 3 years ago, they bestowed him the entire Batman franchise. They made him Batman, then that was the first move. Then the second move was, we're going to let you direct Batman and star in it and write it.
Yeah.
And he did that. So then, in the middle of that, he...
Pulled back. Not going to direct it.
Too much to act and write. I'm just going to just act in it.
Yep.
Hired our boy, what's his name, from Apes, who's dope, to come in and do some stuff. He has a great take on it. But the problem is Matt Reeves, director of War of Apes and the Apes trilogy, Matt Reeves has a trilogy in mind.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I got a trilogy.
Trying to extend this, baby.
And by the time the first Batman comes out, Ben will be like 50.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by the end of the trilogy, you have a 60-year-old Batman.
Exactly. Will his body be able to hold up? Will he be able to have the look?
Not only that, I mean, you know, what they're saying is that the underlying undertone here is that, you know, Ben Affleck is not exactly Tom Cruise. He likes to drink a lot, likes to gamble, likes to be out. Like, he gets in shape for his movies, but the question is, his body changes
at 50. Exactly.
You know, so do you want a 60-year-old Batman? And the question is this more about Ben or is this more about, I believe the story behind the story is Ben has been troubled. He's been in out of rehab. He's been troubled. I think that this has to do with their fear of putting the whole franchise on a 50-year-old Ben Affleck who's an alcoholic.
I mean, it probably is some of that. This probably is like
the
more palatable story they're going to run with. However, I think it's a good story. I don't know if I want to see a 60-year-old person, anyone, playing Batman.
Right.
And I think that's the blessing of DC and Marvel is that you're able to tell these stories over and over and over again and bring youth and life back into these characters. And so maybe they have to figure out a creative way to do that. And I think they were referencing in the comic books how Dick Batman... Grayson. Exactly. So maybe they might do that, you know? Who knows?
But. Yeah, there's ways to do it. I mean, like, well, in fact, this Batman, the Batman they did in Batman versus Superman is already the old...
Right.
I mean, the old Batman who's had a giant history. Right. I mean, Bruce Wayne already has a gray in him. He's older, distinguished. Robin's dead.
Exactly.
We've already skipped that. This isn't rebooting back to an old Batman. This is like...
We're already in the golden years.
Yeah, in the golden years of Batman. So I like that they're doing that. And that's kind of cool that they're playing it that way. But then how are they going to roll that over? And Batman is Bruce Wayne, so I wonder how they're going to be able to... If they transition Batman to Dick Grayson, it's curious as to like how long Marvel Universe will keep that as Dick Grayson Batman before they reset back to Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Interesting. Anyway, that's all very, you know, good problems to have, but interesting problems to solve. I do know this. You know, since the
hold on, I gotta stop it. Yeah. Didn't you say you didn't? You weren't a? Were you a fan or were you not a fan of him in Batman versus Superman?
Oh, I loved him. I think Affleck's dope Batman. I actually think Cavill's a dope Superman too. I don't blame them. I think the casting is fantastic for both of those guys. I think they're both great.
The performance.
Snyder. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Cavill's performance is a little dry, but that's Superman. Superman is a dry dude. He's a Boy Scout. He's just dry. You know. I mean, I think that Christopher Reeves gave it a little more life and had a little more like twinkle in his eye. Yeah. Whereas Cavill seems a little just kind of dead eyes on it.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not mad at him. I think it's fine. What I don't like is I just don't like, you know, Josh. What's his name? Not Josh. Zack Snyder. I don't like Zack Snyder's sort of dark world. We've been on this 1,000 times. So everything is just so dark and brooding, and it's kind of like the Nolanization of the DC. So it works for Batman. It works for The Dark Knight. Knows that trilogy. I know that everything needs to be so dark. So. But to that point, obviously, we saw with Patty Jenkins deal with Wonder Woman, and we know now that Joss Whedon is doing reshoots. He came in like,
Justice League?
Yeah, Justice League. I was like, first I'll do
Did you see the trailer?
I did see the trailer.
Did you like it?
4 minutes long. I liked it better than the first trailer.
Wait, no, I didn't ask you that. Did you like it?
I liked it. Okay. Yeah, I liked it. It's still very Zack Snyder-y. Still got some Zack Snyder stuff in there that I'm just like not. I saw like something about the physics of the way they fight. Something about his physics. It is like he like Aquaman will just like be right here.
You don't like him at all. You don't like Zack Snyder.
Look, if Aquaman's just chilling, it's like I'll be right back. And he just jumped 25 feet in the air. Like he didn't even like wind up. He's just like sitting here. He's like I'll be back. I don't know. It's just weird.
Oh my gosh.
It's just I really the physics have to work.
If
you see the Kingsman, the new Kingsman trailer, mm-hmm. that has some ridiculous fantastical stuff in there, but somehow the physics on that stuff seems to work.
Right.
They seem to have all that.
They want it to be rooted in reality. It's too fantastical, is what you're saying.
So, I mean, it sounds ridiculous when we're talking about Aquaman and superheroes and Flashes and Batmans, but yeah, there's some fundamental physics that's happening.
It takes you out of it. I understand.
But the interesting thing about this is Zack Snyder went in. I mean, you know, Joss Whedon took over for Zack. He said, "I'm going to do a couple little reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
No problem." He went in and did some reshoots. He called everyone in. I need to do a couple more reshoots. Called everyone else in. Now he's doing $25 million of the reshoots.
Hey.
That's like a whole other movie.
Hey. They got to get it right. They can't. Man,
$25 million.
This is their next.
On top of
this is their next push.
Zach already 150.
This is their next push off after Wonder Woman. They have to get this right.
Yeah.
They can't mess this up. So I invest that money.
Is that about like? But Joss very respectfully is looking at what Zach did and was like, nah.
Nah, I mean, hey, I'm the auteur. I took over. Yes, right. Like you started it, but I'm going to finish it. And in order to finish it, it needs to have this tone. It needs to have these things built into it. And this is not working. Like I respect that, and I need this budget to be able to get it done.
Yeah,
or it's going to be. Or
you can't get whatever he wants. Yeah. It's too much money right now. But it's a fact. I'm not mad at Josh for that. It's just like I just more of a flexing on Zach. It's like
I don't think that's a flex though. It's because like, yo, if I write 8 bars of a rap song and throw it to you to write the other 8, you might be like, this is not working. I have a different rhythm.
I trash your 8.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I might keep a couple words there. Keep the parts to say Keeley.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's quite funny is you know, Henry Cavill's deep in shooting Mission Impossible 6.
Mm-hmm.
Deep with that, shooting that with Tom Cruise, and in that he has a full mustache.
Right.
And Paramount's like, he ain't shaving his mustache. So that's not our problem. He's not shaving his mustache.
Oh,
that messes up our production.
Man.
With a goofy mustache. Like you guys said. So Joss already, they have to figure out how to digitally remove his mustache from every shot.
That's crazy.
So that's the world we're living in now.
That's the world we are in, bro.
Because Paramount's like, we ain't gonna digitally put on a mustache for y'all. You know?
No. I'm with that.
So anyway, it's an interesting world. Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. 70mm.
Yeah.
It's in. Now, he went in, Christopher Nolan, who's a big proponent of actually real film, big proponent of shooting, hates digital, he hates streaming, hates Netflix, hates home, hates watching shit at the house.
Yeah.
Like, he's
a film purist.
Film purist. So he went in, and we already know for Interstellar, he went in and retrofitted and fitted the arc light with the 70mm joints and make sure the sound was right. So you can see it, a great 70mm version of this at the Dome, and that's when there's another theater in there in ArcLight that has a 70mm joint. Obviously, the Dolmans won. But he also went in and retrofitted the Chinese Theater and redid that. So for the 70mm IMAX joint, and that's supposed to be the way to see it. And that's where I'm going to go see this joint.
For sure.
At the IMAX. So I'm super excited. I haven't seen it yet. It's supposed to be a masterpiece. What do you think?
No, I've seen, I mean, I haven't seen it yet. Love the trailer. I've heard nothing but great reviews. I've heard people say it's better than Saving Private Ryan, which I think is a huge statement. I've heard a number of people tell me that, that have seen the movie. And I mean, I don't know. The story about it being on 70mm for the average moviegoer, don't know if it matters. I think that where the technology is from the digital projection, I don't know if the average person is going to be able to be like, okay, this is a different experience. I get that, yo, it's a way bigger screen.
Yeah,
I understand that, and that offers a better experience. But what you're about actually
setting over IMAX, where it's tall wide.
No, that's, I mean,
that's crazy.
Definitely crazy.
70mm over here.
But I love the fact that he, you know, sticks to the, I guess, the older tradition, and I understand that when you shine the light through the film, through the celluloid, and especially being that it's bigger film, it's instead of 35mm, 70mm, more light shines through, and it gives you a clearer picture. So I don't know. I would like to do a test. Maybe we go see, but we go see it in 70mm, and then go see it in just like a regular theater and see if it's different.
I think I'm gonna go sometime in the next 2 days, 2 or 3 days. I'm gonna go see Dunkirk at the Chinese Theater. So I'll call you. We'll see what's up, and then we'll see it the digital. I mean, you know, he had like Interstellar was in like 7 different formats. So I don't know. We'll see. Let me run through these really quickly. Wonder Woman 2 has a release date. No surprise. It's the 2019 December. Fine. Get it out. Hurry up.
And hold on. It's the biggest grossing action superhero film that we've had in the last 30 years.
Wow. Yes. So yeah. Shouts to DC. Absolutely. Shouts to Warner Brothers. And shouts to Patty Jenkins and my girl, Gal Gadot, and women.
That's right.
Of Wonder. That's right. I love that movie. Saw it twice. And NES Classic is still sold out. I don't know. This may be your last chance to get it, but it's sold out.
Last chance to get it, but you have to buy this bundle with all these other things. I'm cool.
You buy the super bundle for like $900.
Yeah, bro. I'm cool.
All right. That's a racket. And last but not least, a lot of Comic-Con stuff. Infinity War teaser trailer, which they showed at D23. Stranger Things trailer. Thor Ragnarok dropped. But the most thing I want to talk about before we go is apparently they showed some Black Panther footage, and that was like the hit of Hall H. That was supposedly the biggest response, the most raucous response. Everyone stood up, cheered, went crazy. Like, what the F did they show?
Right.
What I'm like dying to see this footage now.
Hey.
Everyone who saw that footage is like, you don't understand. Like, I don't know. Must have been hot. Hey, Coogler,
baby. I mean, the whole cast and crew. Like, I can't wait for this movie to come out. And I really hope that it you know, it's record setting. I hope that it holds up narratively. And I mean, just based off the trailer and still images that we've seen, like everything looks clean. It looks good.
Yep.
I'm proud of the brother. You know what I'm saying? I mean, huge jumps from Fruitvale Station to Creed to now this. Like, that's. I mean, who else can say that? Yeah. You know, like,
He has another movie. He's got Creed 2. Then he's got another movie. He's got the other movie. Then Creed 2.
I don't know. I don't know that answer.
I don't know. Wow. I'm very excited about that. So good luck to Coogler. Oh, last but not least, what did you think so far of the Wrinkle in Time trailer?
I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked it. I think that's solid too.
Yeah,
I thought it was solid too. Absolutely,
that was good.
Okay, I'll throw it back to you. Did you see Spider-Man yet?
Oh yeah.
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Best one ever. Best iteration of Spider-Man.
It's pretty strong. Pretty strong. I think Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire was really, really, really good. I think Spider-Man 2 was really strong. I think that just for a Spider-Man movie, I think the first Andrew Garfield joint, because I like Andrew Garfield as an actor, was strong. If I had to rank them, I would probably rank this, then Spider-Man 2, then the first Amazing Spider-Man. Okay. But like,
so it takes the cake.
But Tom Holland's, I mean, like, man, like, I thought Andrew Garfield was these Brits, man. Tom Holland's killing in his American accent.
Right.
It's killing as a teen comedy.
Absolutely.
Like, the effects are great.
100%.
You know, it's just really a wonderful movie. And my boy Michael Keaton's like killing it. You know? That scene in the car.
Yeah.
That's a good scene.
And your boy Donnie Glover was killing it too.
Yeah, dude. Donald Glover's killing it. And also Mary Jane Zendaya. I can't get her name right. But yeah, good stuff. All right, man. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nah, man. Just exciting times, man. Exciting times in terms of television and film. So I love talking about this stuff and technology. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. a lot of interesting things came out of TCAs this weekend, yesterday. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Sure thing.
All right. We will see you all next week. Thanks for joining us. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at AkiliShine, AkiliShine. Where can they find you?
On Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. And we will all see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live. Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.